Welcome, everyone. This is our third session on the Breaking Free Forum. Last week we did our first guiding light, which was the breath of love. And originally we had said, or I had said, that we would devote the first five to the first five guiding lights, which relate more to spirituality, but I made a decision to change the format and to move more into the area of skills. And because I think it's very important to arm you with as many skills as possible now at this point, as early as possible, so you can fight the war and win the war. And then when we finish these skills, then we'll return now to the more spiritual aspect of the program, which will deepen your relationship to yourself and Hashem and those you care for. Today we're going to hopefully learn two skills. One actually is a skill, one is more of an experience, which sets the stage for the other skills, many of the other ones, called the inner circle. And we're going to learn a skill to enable you to regain freedom over your runaway thoughts, which is so significant if you're attempting to free yourself from your habits and addictions in areas that you do not want them to control you. And I'll discuss what that is in a moment. It's called FACT, F-A-C-T, and it stands for some significant concepts. So, first let's define freedom. Freedom, from our perspective, in Menuchas and Nefesh, kind of a neshama state of mind, a Menucha state of mind, relates to five dimensions of who we are. And these five dimensions are our thoughts, those little things that kind of run through our brains, our feelings, which run throughout our entire beings, our bodies, our physiology, that is our whole biochemical nature and the way our body reacts to different stimuli and thoughts and feelings, and then our behavior, things that we do, things that we say, things that we try to achieve, and finally our relationships. So once again, the five dimensions of self which enable us to experience are either menuchas hanefesh, our tranquil selves, our neshama selves, or our more out-of-control selves, are our thoughts, our feelings, our physiology, our behavior and relationships. We're going to start off with relationships first, with a concept called the inner circle, which is central to what we'll be learning for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So, the inner circle is a concept, it's a reality of who we are at the heart of our lives. And the inner circle are those individuals in your life who have made a lasting impression on you in a positive way. It doesn't mean that their whole being is positive and every interaction you've had with them is positive, but it does mean that you've had moments that you've shared with them that have embedded themselves, or these moments, in your minds, in your hearts, in your impressions forever. Remember, the mind is the most complex entity in the universe. It remembers every single transaction, every single interaction between yourself and the world around you and the people around you. And these inner circle members are those people who at a significant moment gave you something, shared something with you, were moser nefesh for you, did a chesed for you, gave you something that is memorable. It could be that these individuals have been in your life since you were a child, maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents or siblings, or for a few years, a teacher, a Rebbe, a friend, or someone you met one day when you were in deep trouble and didn't know how to get out of it. And there was that person that showed up and boom, that person became a part of your inner circle. So the inner circle really represents those individuals in your lives who touched you deeply without exploiting you, without using you. This is the very opposite of the extreme of what happens when we behave based on our impulses, when we don't care about someone. We just do it for ourselves. Members of our inner circle gave us something because we meant something to them. And because of that, they now mean something to us. Frequently, all too frequently, we forget the members of these inner circle, of the inner circle. They're there. They're embedded in our brains and our hearts forever, but we just don't remember them. But they're significant, these members of our inner circle, very significant, because they teach us what a relationship is really is. They teach us the meaning of a healthy relationship, what it means to receive, what it means to give, what it means to care, what it means to love, right? These are not mutually exploitative relationships. These are not business relationships. These are not sexual relationships. It doesn't mean we can't have a meaningful relationship that's sexual. Obviously, that's the meaning of marriage. But that's only through the act of love, deep love and commitment and mesiras nefesh for each other. But these are not relationships where we were used or we used somebody else. We were given a gift from the heart of another person. And now, learning how to access these inner circle members, and more important, learning how to access experiences with our inner circle members is really the basis of how we learn to give others and become members of their inner circle. And we're going to do an inner circle experience in a few minutes. And I'm going to prepare you for it first. So I want to give you a quick story that I, from my inner circle that I have shared in the past. Happened just over a matter of 5 minutes, five, maybe 10 minutes, on the George Washington Bridge many, many years ago. We were coming home for Shabbos. We were going up to the mountains for Shabbos, right? And it was getting late and there was a lot of traffic. And I was with family members in the car and we had all the stuff for Shabbos in the car. And all of a sudden I feel the car wobbling and it looks like we got a flat tire. So I said, oh, so I stopped the car, but I hear a police car in back of me says, get the car to the end of the bridge and change the tire there. And I had no choice. So I had to kind of ride on that tire to the end of the bridge and just heard it kind of shredding, being shredded to pieces. When I got to the end of the bridge, I got out of the car and there was a car in front of me. And there was a black guy. He was watching me. So I didn't pay attention. I got out of the car, got everybody else out of the car. Shabbos was getting closer and I got the jack out of the car. And this guy's coming towards me. He said, can I help you? I said, no, thank you. I have a jack. And I put the jack into the place where you put the jack in, jack up the car, and the jack snaps in half. Now this guy, this black guy, sees what's going on. He's watching me, studying me very carefully. And he sees this, he goes back to his car, he gets the jack and starts running towards me like a mishugana. I got the jack, he says. He's determined to help me. He got the jack. And he's running down towards me. And he says, lickety-split, he got everybody moving away from the car, he's a step aside, and he jacks up that car fast. I've never seen anybody jack up any car. And he gets the spare, and he puts the spare on, and he lets the car down, and he finishes thinking, mamish, nothing flat. I'm amazed at where this guy come from. So I said to him, can I help you? He says, oh, no, you don't have to help me, I'm fine. I said, well, why were you parked at the end of the bridge? So he said to me, parked at the end of the bridge because I heard the cop tell you to move on. I went ahead to see if you need any help. I said, well, why would you do that? He said, because yesterday somebody helped me. And I said to myself, good Lord, the next person who needs help, I'm going to help him, right? Now, that's a five-minute encounter. This fellow will always be a part of my inner circle. He showed me the meaning of a karas hatov of appreciation, right? It's just a 5 minute, 10 minute, whatever it was, encounter. Now, we have people all our lives, teachers, grandparents, parents, friends, people who are there for us in moments of need. Everybody has members of the inner circle. We only learn how to be human to members of our inner circle. So the inner circle becomes a very crucial part of this next few sessions because they serve as the foundation of appreciation. Now, what I would like you to do, we're going to go through an inner circle experience, which I think you'll find very interesting. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to, if you can put down on pen and paper, maybe the names of two or three people who you know, you feel are members of your inner circle. Now, everybody has members of the inner circle. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have, you wouldn't know your name. You wouldn't know how to spell. You wouldn't know how to think. We all have people that we appreciate in our lives for things they've done for us. Even though at other moments, they may have not have been there for us. But there were moments when they were there for us. So I'd like you to write down the names of two or three people from your inner circle. Right? Now, now I want to tell you something else about the inner circle. The concept is very important. Each of us, when we get up in the morning, we say, Mo'ad, Mo'deh ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayam, shechazar tibi nishmasi, Hashem returns our neshama. We each have a neshama. Our neshama contains or has the capacity to enable us to grow beyond our wildest imagination into greatness. Our inner circle are those people who become shlichim, messengers from Hashem. Their acts of chesed are really ways that Hashem enables us. They are people who guide us in life to enable us to achieve our greatness. All too often we forget who they are and what they did for us. And when we remember, we're really overwhelmed by the impact that it has. Because you have to remember that when you have an interaction with someone from your inner circle and you were given something, internally you are on fire. Internally the impression was everlasting. We weren't aware of it then, but sometimes we become aware of it and we're filled with a deep sense of gratitude. And this enables us to achieve everything we want to achieve in life when we know how to access these individuals. So the inner circle experience, we're going to take one individual from your list of three. So choose one person. And I would like you now to take that individual and choose a place that you associate with that person. So maybe it was a grandparent or maybe a grandmother who you would visit in her apartment, wherever it may be, in the Lower East Side, in L.A., in Jerusalem, right, in Brooklyn, in Queens, in Cleveland, wherever it may be. Or a parent, maybe a nice walk with your father one day, or mother, or a camp counselor who really took you around when you were lonely and helped you. But take that inner circle individual and associate that person with the place that you remember, that you most clearly associate with that individual. Okay? Now we're going to do an inner circle experience, and many of you will find this very fascinating. and some you will find it overwhelmingly deep and meaningful. So, what I'd like you to do is to close your eyes and imagine that you are standing outside of the place that you associate with this inner circle member. So maybe it's outside of your grandfather or grandmother's home or your own home or a friend's home or outside someone's bunk, right? Or outside of school. And imagine that it's night, so it's dark. But you're looking into a building, into a place that's lit, well lit. And I'd like you to imagine that you go to the door of this place, or wherever the entryway is. And as you enter, you see that it's empty. There's no one there. Maybe it's an apartment, a house. But you can recognize things that you see there. You can recognize that what's on the walls, the furnishings. Maybe you can recognize the aromas in that place. The floor, the ceiling, the mirrors, the fixtures. So imagine, with your eyes closed, walking through this place. And kind of reliving some of the things you experienced there with this individual. But when you finish your brief tour, I'd like you to go to that spot in this place that most reminds you, or so you associate with your interaction with this individual. But you're sitting alone. And as you're sitting alone, you can hear footsteps. And as the footsteps get closer, you can recognize the footsteps of that individual, your inner circle. And now you can recognize the outline of a figure, a body. And now, as the person gets closer, you can see the face, the eyes, the mouth, the nose. And as you get closer, if it's appropriate, I'd like you to imagine that you stand up and you embrace this person. And if not, then you just stand up and you look at this individual. And as you look at this individual, you can see that this individual's eyes, this member of your inner circle, is looking at you from a deep sense of love, of caring. And you feel very touched within. And you begin to remember the very delicate and sensitive ways you were touched by this individual when you were together, emotionally touched, or maybe physically touched in a very caring way. And I'd like you to imagine that you may even take the back of your hand and touch the face of this individual, if it's appropriate, but doing it in a very soft and loving way. And I'd like you to imagine saying, "Thank you so much for caring about me. Thank you for the chesed that you have done for me. Thank you for loving me, if that's appropriate. I thank you because you have touched me very deeply and you have enabled me to feel like I'm a human being, a cared for and precious human being. Your neshama has touched my neshama. And every time I think of you, it nurses me back to health. It teaches me what it feels like to be a cared for individual. And I'd like you to imagine looking up and saying, "Thank you, Hashem, for bringing this individual into my life, for enabling me to feel like a cared for and loved human being. Through this person, I can understand the meaning of being loved and cared for. Hashem, you have created me for good, for love, for kindness. And this person at this moment personifies all this and has enabled me to understand it, all of these wonderful qualities that you want me to learn and you want me to acquire and practice. And I thank you for sending this individual into my life." And I'd like you now to look at this individual once again in the eyes, once again saying, "Thank you for being there for me, for caring for me, for enabling me to feel whole and human and warm and healthy and deserving." There is no greater gift that anyone could give me than these qualities. And with that, you once again, if appropriate, touch the face. If not, then just look. And back away from the room, from the person, leaving the place, going back from the light into the dark where you came from. But within you, the light continues, the light of being touched by this individual from your inner circle. Within you, you carry this memory, and you know that within you there are thousands and thousands of moments like this that you have shared with other people, with friends, teachers, parents, rabbis. Individuals gave you the gift of life. They are all members of your inner circle. And over time, as you learn to utilize your inner circle, as you learn to gain access to each of these individuals, there are so many memories you can recreate within yourself, waiting to be recreated, to be experienced in the fullness of their beauty. And with that, you can now open your eyes. And this is the first of the inner circle experiences. And you can, the book will guide you to create many such memories through walking meditations and through meditations such as this one. And if you take one person a day, and you do an inner circle experience, and during the course of that day, you think of that person, of what you were given. You think about how that person would guide you in life to make decisions about life. Then you'll find yourself much richer. You'll find the fullness of life begin to emerge within yourself. And that is the first thing I wanted to teach you today, which is the inner circle. Now, the reason why we start with the inner circle is because we're going to be doing another exercise now. And it's called FACT, F-A-C-T. And in this exercise, in this skill, we're going to be using the inner circle. In fact, using the word fact again, and I'll tell you what the word fact stands for in a moment. There are three such skills that I'll be teaching you to enable you to gain control of your thoughts and your feelings and to elevate your self-esteem in wonderful ways. And each of them employ the inner circle, which is why I wanted to teach it to you first. Now, a great part of the life that you lead is filled with unwanted thoughts. They're unwanted because they're negative. They're unwanted because they drag you into a hole that you can't get out of. They're unwanted because they steal, they deprive you of your freedom. Sometimes they're thoughts related to your challenge. Sometimes they're just thoughts related to being down, you know? And you know, I don't want to have these thoughts now. Somebody told me it was before Yom Kippur. It was on Yom Kippur where he had these... where he's trying to daven, and he couldn't daven Shemoneh Esrei because he was having all of these thoughts. What do you do? So, the challenge is, how do we take back control of our thoughts? When we have a negative thought, we can't go into the boxing ring and fight them. They'll always come out ahead. We call it feeding the bully, right? Some people say, well, just let them pass. Well, you know, you let them pass and they keep on coming back and they keep on punching you around. And before you know it, you're doing things you didn't want to do. So the question is, how do we take back control of our mind, of our thoughts that go to unwanted places, people, things? It's a remarkable fact that we have, guess how many thoughts a day, right? The answer is approximately 50,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts. Now, we're not always aware of the thoughts that we're having. They're just there. So if I want to hold on to this glass of tea, right? I have thoughts. I know it's a glass of tea. I know it's a glass. I know I have a hand that holds on to the handle, right? These are all thoughts. I don't think about them in the same way that when you're driving, you're listening to the radio, you're talking to a friend. You're not thinking about the road, but you are having thoughts about it. And we're having, as I say, about 50,000 thoughts a day. And they're triggered by countless events and memories and stimuli all around us. And when we're caught in these negative thoughts that we don't want, we feel like we're in a Star Wars battle zone. The goal is, how do we regain our freedom? How do we let go of these unwanted thoughts? How do we manage to regain this neshama state of mind? And what are the thoughts? Well, they could be thoughts that make us sad. They could be thoughts that make us feel insecure, jealous, worried, fearful, angry. We can have thoughts about things we don't want to do, immoral things we don't want to do. But the more we fight it, the larger it gets. So we're going to learn a skill, the first of the skills that I'm teaching you. And this skill is called FACT. F-A-C-T, and you can certainly write this down on a piece of paper where you write the word fact with one letter above the next. So on the top line, you write the letter F. On the line beneath that, you write the letter A, and then C, and then T. Now, I'll tell you what they mean in a moment, And by the way, the names of these exercises, I kind of find ways of discovering words that you can remember easily, and you know immediately how to use them. So when I tell you to fact it, or you say, I'm going to fact that thought, you know exactly what we're talking about. There are four different operations, four different thoughts that you're going to use in this protocol, and you know what they are right away. So, let's look at the human mind. The human mind has 100 billion cells. And each cell in the human mind has 100 trillion atoms. That's beyond comprehension. We know that. So it's very clear that the ability to think is not something that we can do by ourselves. Now you can ask, well, 100 trillion atoms in each cell, how is that possible? And you wonder how anybody could ever go on living without understanding or believing in Hashem. But you know, we do what's convenient for us, for ourselves. And the world does not want to acknowledge Hashem's existence or role in our lives. But one thing is clear, that Hashem helps us by controlling our thoughts, by guiding our thoughts to the right places when we are ready to receive that bracha. You know, if somebody was ill, somebody was, you know, had to undergo surgery, and you were saying Tehillim for them, you were davening for them, you say, please Hashem, help Chaim get better. Chaim ben Sara, whoever he may be. That's a given, that's accepted. But we never hear that when it comes to our thoughts. We never hear anyone say, Hashem, help me make my thoughts better. And we don't think in those terms, but the reality when we think about having a brain with 100 billion cells and 100 trillion atoms in each cell, then how can we not think in this direction? How can we not ask Hashem for His assistance? And I want to teach you fact, which once you learn fact and you use it, you're never going to stop using it. Because it's an incredibly effective way of transforming your negative thoughts. Because before you do anything, you have a thought. Before you make any decision, you have thoughts. Before you go someplace you didn't want to go, you have thoughts. And your ability to transform those negative thoughts, those imprisoning thoughts, gives you your first step to freedom. So let's look at a thought first. What is a thought? A thought, it has no molecular footprint that we know of. Chazal, or the sages, tell us that a thought occurs in our brains. It's at the apogee, the height of who we are. It's closest to the Shemayim, closest to Hashem. And it's all spiritual. There is no chemical event associated with a thought. It's... Now, fact represents four progressive levels of thinking, where we start off with a negative thought, and then we progress upwards on four different levels until that thought is transformed. We haven't gone to war. We haven't fed the bully. Right? We haven't enlarged the thought more than it started. What we're doing is we're taking it and we're transforming it into a bracha. We're transforming it into the highest level of thinking possible. From insecurities to trust, from lewdness to kedusha, from fear to faith, from negative to positive. That's what we do. And that's what FACT is all about. And at the bottom of it all is that all health, all emotional, cognitive health, all health comes from Hashem. No less than our physical health, the same with our cognitive health, the health of our thoughts. Now let's go to FACT itself, how we do it, how we perform it, and how these levels work. So next to the letter F, I'd like you to write the word freedom. Next to the letter A, I'd like you to write the word appreciation. Next to the letter C, I'd like you to write caring. And next to C, I'd like you to write the word trust. So let's say you're in an environment where you're having a thought you do not want to have. Maybe it's about a person. Maybe it's about an act that you don't want to participate in. Maybe it's about a thought about yourself that's negative. Maybe it's a worry. Maybe it's a fear. So the first thing is we say, that I have this negative thought, I have this unwanted thought that's keeping me in my addiction, in my obsession. I'm thinking about this person, I should not be. I'm thinking about this act, it should not be. I'm thinking about this image, it should not be in my mind. I don't want it to be there. It keeps on crawling back in like a snake, right? It keeps on pecking away at my brain like a woodpecker. So the first thing we say is, Hashem, I have this thought, I don't know how to get rid of it, please free me from this negative thought. Once again, we've taken a negative thought, we were in a negative state of mind, and suddenly we realize Hashem is around. He knows our thoughts. I'm going to ask him to free me. He can do it. He controls the world. He can heal me. He heals everyone. Baruch Rofei Cholim, we say. Now, so we're asking Hashem, please Hashem, free me from this negative thought. But let's say your name is Chaim. Or Hashem says, Chaim, I understand that you want me to free you from this negative thought, and I want to give you a bracha, but for me to give you a bracha, you have to be what we call a suitable vessel, right? If you buy someone flowers, they put it in the vase. If you buy a picture, you put it in a frame. It's called a kli kibul. Kli means a vessel. Kibul means to accept it. Hashem is telling you, I can give you a bracha, but you have to become a kli kibul. You have to become suitable for the bracha. How do we become a kli kibul? Well, that's where the inner circle comes in. So if you remember that person from your inner circle, or anybody from your inner circle, or if you remember an event that occurred in your life that really you thought you were finished and somehow you were saved. I recently had a family member that was very, very ill, and Baruch Hashem, she pulled through. Hashem pulled her through. So the way we become a Kli Kibul is we say, Hashem, thank you for that member of my inner circle. Thank you for my grandmother, who was such a sweet person. Thank you for my parents. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my rabbi. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you. Right? You don't thank the whole world, but you can think of two or three individuals from your inner circle and say, Hashem, I thank you. I appreciate these members of my inner circle. I appreciate this chesed you did for me. It shows me that you love me. Right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. Otherwise, I wouldn't have the benefit of these individuals. Now, the moment you do that, the moment you appreciate and you express your appreciation, right, your whole state of mind has changed immediately. So let's say you were thinking of going someplace. You didn't know what to do with that thought. You didn't want to go there. You know where it leads, right? You didn't want to do that or say that. You say, Hashem, please free me from this thought. And then you say, Hashem, I'm going to think of my inner circle member. I'm going to thank you for sending that person into my life. For sending that guy at the George Washington Bridge, Erev Shabbos, right? With the jack in his hand, screaming, I got the jack. You sent him, Hashem. Right? He did it willingly, but you sent him. But the moment you appreciate, your state of mind has changed. You're out of prison. But we're not ready yet, because we haven't achieved our goal yet. Because the next level of our thinking is caring. Now, caring is on a higher level than appreciation. Why? Appreciation is what you receive from others. Caring is your ability to care about others. You become a shutuf, you become a partner with Hashem. You're not receiving, you're giving, right? You become that guy, right, on the George Washington Bridge running toward this Jew on Erev Shabbos, right? Holding a jack in his hands, right? You're giving. You're performing. Now, how do you care? If you think of somebody, maybe in your inner circle, but somebody who is going through a period of state of mind that is, or life that's really difficult, a person is suffering. Maybe somebody has a terrible illness. Maybe somebody needs a life partner, lost someone, right? Has become an orphan, losing a parent, or somebody who's lost a spouse. Right? Think about somebody you care about who's suffering. And caring is on an even higher level than appreciation for the reasons we gave. Now, if you think about that person and think about that individual in a way that really makes an impression on your mind and heart, you're caring. You're in a different stratosphere. You're on an incredibly high level of humanity at this moment. Think of where you started, where you had a thought, a negative thought. Maybe it was a selfish thought. Maybe it was an exploitative thought. Maybe it was just a bad thought. But where you started and where you are now, you're in a whole different universe, right? Not only are you out of prison, but you become a prince or princess in just a few moments. So now you're at caring. So you've done F for freedom, A for appreciation, C for caring, and now we're going to do the last letter, in fact, which is trust. And for that, we say, Hashem, in the same way that I care about others, I trust that you care about me. In other words, I trust that you will always be there to free me from my negative thoughts. I trust that you will never let go of me. You will always be close by. I trust that I'll never be alone. I'll always have you there next to me. Right? I trust that things will work out. I trust that I can walk away from this bad thought, from this action I don't want to take, and I'm going to survive and thrive. I trust. In the same way that I care about others, I trust that you care about me. Why do we need caring to lead to trust? Because when we care, we're at the height of our humanity. And when we're at the height of our humanity, then we know that Hashem made it this way. Hashem personifies caring. Hashem personifies chesed. And now we can say, this is what you are, this is what you represent. And now I am deserving of the gift you're going to give me. And you're going to find that when you do trust, when you achieve trust, at that moment, you're at an exhilarating height of your own awareness, consciousness, one that you never thought you were going to achieve. And all it took, once you learned how to do fact, was perhaps 30, 40 seconds, right? And you'll find that there's no individual, there's no thought that you can ever have which you can't transform through fact. Now, the way you acquire fact is you write it down on a piece of paper, an index card, put it on your phone. FACT, freedom, appreciation, caring, and trust. And every time you have a negative thought, an unwanted thought, you fact it. And to begin with, you should be practicing fact about 10 times a day, minimum. Even if you don't need to, because if you're practicing it, when you have a negative thought, you see, there is a secret power to a negative thought. And that secret power is that once you have it, you're entangled in it in a way that you can never rid yourself of it. It's like a fly on flypaper, right? It has its claws within you, deep within you, right? And so you're going to learn that by using fact, that within moments you can free yourself from the tenacious grip of your negative thoughts, unwanted thoughts. You're going to taste the beauty of freedom, and that's an exhilarating beauty you will discover, not just once, but almost every time. Now you can ask, how many times should I use fact a day? To begin with, you should practice it 10 times a day. There are times when I use fact 15, 20, 30 times a day, right? And it's not just for thoughts leading to your challenge, any negative thought. You hear the news about Israel, it gets you down. Fact it. You shouldn't permit yourself to be in a negative state of mind. You think about the upcoming IRS, tax season. How am I going to pay? Fact it. Don't permit yourself to be there. Right? There's a person you think about that you have a grudge against or has a grudge against you. Fact it. Right? Never let any single thought go unchallenged. Remember, you're fighting a war for your life. And you're going to win it if you use the tools that I teach you. So you're not going to be able to use this until we finish our program. But those of you who will take a few moments and start to practice it, you're going to see remarkable results. And this is going to be your first step to mamish to freedom. So with that, I think actually we do have a little time left. Anything else I want to share with you that I didn't plan to? No, I think we're fine. I think we can end it here. So we have learned inner circle, and I would like to suggest that you practice inner circle. And if you practice inner circle the way I have laid out, right, when you listen to the recording, I urge you to listen to it. So you can use a different inner circle member every day, and you'll find that you're going to achieve wonderful, wonderful experiences, human experiences. And if you practice, use those inner circle members as a use fact, and you're going to find that your life changes in very significant ways. And next week, Mr. Shem, we're going to teach you more skills. And you're all going to have that wonderful taste of freedom. So I wish you a wonderful week. Hatzlacha in all your endeavors. Okay. Good night.